2020 was a special year for women's football in Germany. It's been 50 years since women's football has been officially recognized by the DFB, which is the German Football Association, and 30 years since the introduction of the Women's Bundesliga. Franzi Blendin, Ellen Harnisch and Sascha Dierkopp from the Legende Verloren podcast have done more research into German women's football than anyone else and know everything about how it all kicked off.
It was about that there were women's teams in Germany, but they weren't allowed by the DFB. And so there was football and the DFB was in fear of losing control above women's football on area of football. So after the unofficial World Championship in 1970 in Italy, the discussion about allowing football was getting more media discussion.
The main point was Germany sent actually an unofficial national team to that World Cup in Italy. And the media, including the national media, reported about that tournament. And they reported quite positively for the time as well. And thousands of fans came. That unofficial national team played a friendly match close to Munich. And about 5,000 fans came. So it was sold out. People were really excited about that new sport, which wasn't new at all, but just the fact that women do play football was very exciting for many people. So a public debate started and the FA basically had no further chance to ban it any longer, because that's what happened before. Women's football was always played throughout the years. It always happened. There were always unofficial leagues. Just the FA banned it, which means they couldn't rent official stadiums, a club couldn't get involved, so it was all unorganized, but it still happened.
And maybe to introduce some of the people who were involved with developing the game in Germany, I think we have to mention Hannelore Ratzeburg, because she's the woman who kind of forced herself up on the FA and created a women's football section in the FA. She did all the work, lobbied, and did everything to make it happen.
And she's still the only one, which, of course, isn't great.
But in the areas beneath the chair, there are a lot of women now. But yeah, at the chair, I think there was 15 men and one woman or something like this.
Oh, even more. Our FA is one of the largest boards in the world. I think we have 25 members or something, and only one of them is a female.
At the beginning, it was not very easy for the women because they weren't allowed to play normal. Like, they were only allowed for, I think at the beginning, 60 minutes, later 80 minutes. There were all the time debates about whether they should wear special things, and they couldn't wear normal football shoes because they weren't allowed to. They had to play with the smaller balls, and they didn't have the normal seasons. They had like half a year pause between the seasons. At the beginning, at the 70s, they only could play against people from the same region. And for example, Monika Koch-Emsermann, the coach of the FSV Frankfurt from 1972, was like telling me that it was very boring to play only against all the same teams, and it was not that easy. But there were a few persons who were really, really, really into this women's football, and they really tried to change different things, and they made it like at the end, 1990, with the start of the first Bundesliga.
They divided it into two regional sections in the beginning. In 1997, they joined both of the sections. So and they created the Bundesliga how it still is, with 12 teams. They hoped this could have created more, like a boom or something, so more people get involved and it becomes more professional. But that didn't really happen for quite a long time. So the only thing that happened was that smaller teams got into financial trouble because they had to travel further than they had before.
50 years in the making, and with football chronically high on the agenda in Germany, expectations would be that investments would have been made to foster the women's game. But the reality looks different.
Not a lot has been done to promote it. I think restrictions had been lifted, so women can now wear studs under their boots like every other footballer, and they have the normal sized balls and play over 90 minutes, but that's about it. Like, they play football as it is ruled internationally, and that's, I think, the only reason to be included into the Olympics and play World Cups. You kind of have to play the game as it is globally. But apart from lifting restrictions, not a lot has actually been done very proactively. The spectator numbers are lower than in the first season for some of the Bundesliga clubs today. it's still not on national TV. You can't really watch the matches on TV, even if you want to really hard. It isn't really promoted by the FA, at least the league. The national team is, but the league really isn't promoted a lot. So the inequality is still there. And I think far too little has been done over all these years.
The discussion about the spectators is maybe a little bit different in the GDR. Turbine Potsdam had more than 1,000 spectators at games, the GDR times, and they had a real fan crowd. And when they came later after the fall of the GDR, they came later to the Bundesliga. First, they missed the joining of the Bundesliga, and later on, they joined the Bundesliga. And then Turbine Potsdam was one of the teams which had a lot of spectators because they had this historically grown crowd, like people who were always there. We had always these clubs that had spectators, but a lot of not.
I think what would help is some of the big men's clubs, like, for example, FC Cologne. They have a women's team. But so I lived in Cologne for 2 years, and nobody really knew that they had a women's team in the Bundesliga. So they were playing in the Bundesliga at that time. They are now in the second tier. The big men's clubs, they should promote their women's teams. They have big websites, so just put them on there, make them visible. Some clubs do that, so like Wolfsburg, for example. Wolfsburg, Bayern is getting better at it, and I think Frankfurt is also good at promoting their women's team. They have the funding. I mean, they have a lot of money, those clubs, so I don't really get why they don't do it.
It is basically invisible. It's not even in the local media. You might find it on the last page somewhere, two lines about the match. If you want to follow it, it is just really, really hard. It is impossible to get live scores of half of the matches. It is impossible to watch most of the matches. Even if you are happy to pay for it, it is hard to find any stream, and in some cases just impossible. So basically all you have is following Facebook accounts of these teams, but you need to be very proactive about it. You will never hear about it if you don't really want to. And even if you really want to, it's really hard to follow it.
I regularly get frustrated. Sometimes they announce, they do this preview. So like this match will be streamed this broadcast. And I don't know, I write it down. I'm looking forward to it. And then it doesn't happen. And if you ask, why don't you show the game? What's happening? Nobody will answer. So it's just nobody cares. And they have highlight or match videos, something like that, on the FA website, but they are not the best quality because they use crappy cameras. I used to work for them for half a season or something. So it's impossible to do a decent match report or highlight video with this camera. I think they now share the videos on social media, which is also new because they didn't do it the last years, which is just stupid because why would you produce a video and then just load it on the FA website and nobody knows that it's on this website? Because you have to click, I don't know, 10 times to get to the videos, and they load them up, I think, on Monday or something, and it's too late. So
I think this is the main problem, is like, if you discuss with people, it always feels like that you talk about football and everybody talks about men's football. Football is men's football. And everything which is not football is women's football. And then you have to say women's football and you have to add it extra. A lot of media resources, also the DFB, are a feeling of women's football is an extra thing. It's extra work. It's extra to do. It's something that it's not main football bubble. This is one of the problems, I think, with a bit visibility. And it's because I think the people are like this internal sexism. Women's football is something extra. Women's football is not football.
Yeah, and I would like to add that this is structural. Like if you look at the board of the German FA, you have somebody responsible for youth football, somebody responsible for media, somebody for even old people's football. There is an old guy for that on the board, but it always means men. And then you have one board member who is women's football. This includes youth, the Bundesliga, all amateur leagues, all tournaments, old women's football. So like literally everything is one person, and all the other 24 are just concerned with a men's match. that's just structural, given from the FA and triggered down to the media and everything else. If you open a football app, like the most prominent one in Germany, you will have own parts of the homepage dedicated to youth football, to first division, second division, all kinds of non-league stuff, and women. It's named women. Depending on the time when you click on it, this can be a World Cup or Bundesliga or just a debate within the FA, because everything that might concern women is just this one point of 50.
Sometimes there's big coverage of certain topics of women's football, but they are always not related to the actual sports. So you won't really find match reports or something. So the things you want to see, because everything is about, the league is struggling, or, Wolfsburg is dominating the league, it's boring, blah, 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 sexism. And I mean, it's important to talk about it, but you should also mention the sport. And that doesn't happen at all.
That was one interview for the Legende Verloren podcast at the second episode with Freddy Wenner and Katja Bornstein. Freddy Wenner was the goalkeeper, which got the goal the first of the Bundesliga. And Freddy said, it is the first time talking about the sport, not only because of being a non-male football player. That was a statement which was very recognizable to me, because it was like, whoa, okay, imagine playing 20 years of football and never have been asked about the sports. That's frustrating, I think.
And she gave a lot of interviews before, to be fair, but never about sports.
The lack of exposure is having its impact on the league and eventually also on the German national team.
So I would still say the Bundesliga is one of the best leagues in the world. It is competitive. I mean, if you look at it, okay, Wolfsburg won a lot of championships in the past years, but there are teams that on a good day, they can compete against Wolfsburg. What we see now is international players, no one of them even thought about joining the Bundesliga. It has a lot to do with visibility. Because, I mean, they could play in a good league and they could have really competitive games and everything, but nobody will really be able to watch it. And even maybe their national coaches wouldn't be able to watch their players play, so why would they join the Bundesliga? And I know some players left for the Spanish league, for example, because they were just frustrated because nobody in their home countries could watch them play.
I think a lot of players came because it was the best league in the world and the quality was high and also the funding was good, maybe 10 years ago compared to all the other countries. But we are falling behind with all these things. Then the covering is coming on top. It is just natural, and it's exactly the same with the men's game. You will not find a football player who's going to the Greek league because he will not be selected for the national team because his coach doesn't recognize his matches. He doesn't see them. Of course, it's the same for the women's game. There was a good example 2 years ago. I tried to watch the Champions League campaign of Wolfsburg, and the semifinal was streamed on a pay-per-view platform called Maikujo, which is otherwise showing the National League of Fiji. So it's like a very tiny platform, and that's the only way you could see that match. And I think nobody knew about that as well. But it kind of gives you an idea to be really seen playing women's football in Germany. You actually have to make it to a Champions League final.
And to be honest, we had for like in the 2005 to 2015 about, we had players like Ali Krieger in our league. They came from the US to Germany and played in Frankfurt. I had like Ali Krieger here next to me in Frankfurt. It's like, for me, it's whoa. And nowadays it's not imaginable.
Just imagine Ali Krieger thinking about, okay, I will go back to Germany, and then she's joining maybe Hoffenheim or something, and nobody would be able to buy a jersey with her name on it, because it's not possible. With some clubs, you can't. So I did a research for another podcast on this, so it was very depressing. Yeah, and then you look at the UK and you see Tobin Heath and Kristen Press. Their jerseys are just outselling every men's jersey at Manchester United.
And that's where you see that it's not about the money, it's about sexism. Because a lot of people in Germany say, yeah, women's football, it's not that good, they don't have the money, so yes, we don't like it, or people don't like it. But for example, that clubs which are famous, which are good at women's football, are not having, for example, all this merchandise stuff. Come on, with the merchandise, you get the most money. And so why don't you sell it? It's not that complicated anymore. But they don't sell it because it's not about the money. It's about the sexism in the clubs and in the infrastructure.
I think the essence of it is women's football is popular where it is better than men's football. That's why Wolfsburg is taking a lot of care about it. That's why the national team got a lot of attention.
You have a lot of German players now playing in England and in France, for example. So you have Melanie Leupolz playing for Chelsea, or you have Sarah Debritz playing for Paris Saint-Germain. And I mean, that's good. That's good for them as players. They can develop and they play in good competitive leagues. I'm not sure about France, but they play international football. So it's good for the development. We have good young players at the moment. They get a chance to play in the Bundesliga because there are less players from abroad, also less players who would be preferred to play because they are more experienced or something. I think it could be a chance, but in the long term, I don't think it's good because you need a strong league.
And I think one problem is that women's football is losing popularity, and so less people play football. And so less people are there who are playing good football, who can play for the national teams. But I like our national coach at the moment, Martina Voss-Tecklenburg. I think she is a great coach. But we had, for example, an interview with coaches from local areas, and they said that it's getting less and less girls who want to play football, and also boys. It's not only a girls thing, it's people play less football.
Yeah, I think that's a national trend. Football numbers go down, especially with kids. Yeah, I think, again, I agree with Alan. If players go abroad and develop there, the league doesn't matter too much. Currently looks like many are doing. I just looked at the squad of our national team and we have 6 to 7 players playing abroad currently in the squad of 23. While, for example, 2011, our World Cup squad entirely played in the Bundesliga. So that is slightly changing. And I think what that mostly means is that it's getting more challenging for the national team coach because she will not be able to build a team out of the best 2 Bundesliga clubs. So all the players know each other very well and are used to very similar systems, but she has to bring together players from very different everyday club backgrounds. And I think the big question is how she can pick up that challenge. I hope she will do it successfully, but I think it's very different and much more of a challenge.
Despite having recognized women's football 50 years ago, Germany still has a lot of catching up to do.
Most of the people we interviewed are active nowadays at the sports. What they tell about the things that actually happens shock me. All the debates, you think, yeah, come on, 30 years ago. Anna Schareiner and Sandra Hoffmann, former players from VfL Ulm and from Hannover Sachsenross, they told like the problems they have as coaches nowadays of boys and girls. You listen to it and think, can't possibly. You're a little bit shocked about what problems they have to find against and nowadays and not 30 years ago.
We did also interview the German FA vice president, and it's just grim. We did discuss about women representation on the board, for example. It's just unthinkable that the reply is still, well, women are not really keen to volunteer. So naturally, women just don't like to volunteer in football organizations, and thus they don't reach the top as well because they don't qualify over the years. Still having these debates that it's entirely the fault of women that they are not represented. I think it's so fallen out of time. But it's still ever present in like the very top of the German FA and throughout the whole system. I think that's the shocking surprise we all had. At least I didn't expect hearing anyone saying something like that and being fine for it to go on record as well. He had no issue going on record saying, well, women just aren't interested in working in an FA.
Impressive interview it was. We argued about, I think, 1 hour. It was unprofessional for me, but yeah, I was getting angry.
We actually made a step back in many regards. So the average audience numbers in the stadiums are sometimes lower than 30 years before. Now it isn't unusual to find a Bundesliga match with 50 spectators. That was unthinkable in 1990. Like, they all had 300, 400 spectators. Last but not least, also the media coverage. And for some clubs, for the first 7 years, you find a full half-page match report about every single match they have, which just focuses on the sport and about the 90 minutes of play, analyzing it just like you would expect football coverage to be. And this is really, really hard to find today.